American banjo player Abigail Washburn knows China very well. She once lived there and she speaks Mandarin fluently. 2 years ago, Abigail Washburn traveled to Tibet. She went there with her ensemble, the Sparrow Quartet. Washburn kept an audio diary while in Tibet, and we asked her to share some of it with us today.
I went on my first music tour in China in 2004 and then went back again in 2005 with the particular group of people that are now known as the Sparrow Quartet. We were Abigail Washburn, Bela Fleck, Casey Dreesen, and Ben Soley. It was after our 2005 trip that we caught the attention of not only the ambassador, but the head of the American Center for Educational Exchange in Beijing, Frank Whitaker. And he thought that we might be the right group to lead the first American cultural mission to Tibet. One of my challenges going into this trip was I have such a faith in the teachings and the writings of the Dalai Lama that I felt a sense of pain at the idea of going to this land that he can't go to, and why do I have that privilege? And the only thing that made it make sense for me is that I wanted to follow, in the words of the Dalai Lama, in a path of peaceful engagement. So whatever that meant. And I wanted to have fun, too. I knew that much. When we got in the van and we started engaging with Droma and the folks that had met us at the airport, I felt this sense immediately that not just our job here, but my instinct as a human being was to connect.
This is actually a very popular Tibetan folk music, and it means that today we are happily gathering together, and I hope everybody will be in good health, and let's dance and sing.
Our first show is going to be tomorrow night at Lhasa Gaozhong Xue, which is the Lhasa High School.
Da 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 da.
Yeah, and so then we do the beginning again.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Chinese authorities asked us for our set list six months in advance of the shows, even though we didn't know who we would be playing for or how many shows there would be. And there was a surprising repertoire on there. I mean, you might think that Christian gospel songs might not have been approved, but they were. We did a number of Christian gospel songs and blues. It seemed like the Chinese authorities were unfettered by our repertoire choice.
Nobody's fault but mine. If a day and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine.
We went to a lot of different types of monasteries. Several of the monasteries we went to further out into the countryside, it was so alive. The colors, the food, the smells, the monks chanting, praying, the meditations, it felt very alive. The energy was beautiful. I came out of the room in the monastery where everyone was chanting, and I walked out onto this sort of front porch. And there were these three beautiful Tibetan women standing there, clearly pilgrims who had come from quite a ways away. And they were just staring at me, and these beautiful bright lips and this smooth skin and these bright eyes that just looked so open and excited. And I said hello in English first, and then I tried Chinese, and that didn't work either. So clearly it was going to be Tibetan, and I don't know enough Tibetan to go anywhere with it. So I sang. I started singing to them.
Sing 'em low, boys, raise 'em high.
And they giggled, and then they got in really close to my face and were sort of almost feeling the breath from my words. And I asked them if they wanted to sing along.
<音><音>
And it didn't really work. It was a shy, bashful kind of engagement, but it was really special. Tibetan folk music reminds me a lot of like a Roscoe Holcomb from the High Appalachians. There's this high, lonesome quality to the singing in Tibet. There were amazing notes that the men and women that were trained in Tibetan folk music could hit with their chest voice. It just profoundly intense wavelengths coming out of those tones. Our last night in Lhasa, we were asked by the owner of the restaurant in the lobby of our hotel if we would come down and play music for all the visitors and for their local favorites that they would ask to come out and hang out, including a lot of local Tibetan musicians. And when we walked in, it was like the famous barroom scene from Star Wars, where there's, you know, just different types of beings from all over. I immediately knew it was anything goes. The Tibetan women that were there ended up singing a song for us for every song that we sang. And by the end of the night, everybody was breaking out in song. I mean, this Italian guy broke out into O Sole Mio, and he had the whole table weeping around him.
O Sole Mio, San fronte a te, San fronte a te.
The trip to Tibet and the music that the Sparrow Quartet was exposed to there, I think more than anything, honestly, it gave us a sense of solidarity, a sense of mission, a sense of reason to make music together in a way that I don't think very, very many bands get the opportunity to be exposed and totally vulnerable in new musical situations together night after night. After that trip, we knew that we were going to make music that embodied that sense of adventure and possibility for peaceful engagement in the world.
That was banjo player and singer-songwriter Abigail Washburn with an audio diary of her time spent in Tibet. Some of the sounds she heard on that trip are reflected in Washburn's latest CD with her Sparrow Quartet. We'll hear music from that CD coming up later in our Global Hit.